There was an idea to bring together a duo of recyclable people to see if we could become something more, so that when we needed to, we could create the podcast that we otherwise never could. No one asked for it, no one knew they needed it, but now you have it. Black Culture Geeks.
Welcome everyone to the Black Culture Geeks podcast. This is my man SBJ.
You.
And I am Tombstone the Dead Man, and we are just a couple of geeks talking about pop culture from a black perspective.
Facts.
Facts indeed. And wow. I just gotta say wow.
So, wow. This is the second week in a row where we didn't have an evergreen episode on the Wednesday, and it's because news keeps happening.
Yeah, yo, it's too much shit.
Things keep happening.
Too much shit.
You know, every once in a while, we saw the feedback, we understood, and we'll never stop. But we slowed down a little bit on the Marvel thing,
yep.
But this is not an option. We can't avoid this one. This one has to happen.
Because Comic-Con.
For those who don't know, Comic-Con.
The San Diego.
San Diego Comic-Con. OG Comic-Con happened. And Marvel Studios had Hall H.
They did not
go to Hall H last year. They saved everything for D23.
Right.
And I'm gonna get to that later. We got a couple other news stories to hit before we get to that.
Facts.
So, production shut down on DC's show. They were doing season 2 of Titans.
Yeah, and it's on a DC Universe app or whatever.
Yeah, and somebody died.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's
pretty ass. One of the stunt coordinators.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, DC keeps taking these L's. Because didn't the Swamp Thing production get shut down?
I believe you're correct, sir.
So it's like, come on, what is going on here?
I don't know, but what it does is it adds to the ever-growing narrative that there's a shit show happening over on that side. And that's distressing to me because... And I've said this before, when you don't have competition,
mm-hmm.
you tend to get a little bit lazy,
yeah.
a little bit whatever. And I don't want that for the MCU. I want them to continue to go strong, continue to make us feel the way we feel. And I worry that without having that competition and instead having what could possibly be referred to as the Keystone Cops of competition over there on the other side... that they will eventually take it for granted. And I hope they don't. You know what I'm saying?
I'll say this. I don't think they will, mm-hmm. but no competition means literally that effectively you can do whatever you want.
You do whatever the hell you want.
And that's not good for the consumer.
You don't push yourself.
Yeah.
And it's just not good. So I don't find any, especially because somebody died, but I don't find any... joy in DC's woes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not as a comic book fan. Not as a DC fan, period. Like, I find that to be distressing. Like, yo, y'all have got to get y'all shit together. And I'm almost at the point of feeling like, and this is going to sound crazy, yo, just let Marvel buy DC Comics and let them do, they got enough money. Let them do... Movies,
oh God!
At least let
Disney buy DC.
Yeah, you know what?
Keep them separate.
Of course, keep them separate. We don't want them together like that.
Keep them completely separate. Let Disney buy DC from Warner Brothers, but that's never going to happen because they make so much money.
But think about what we would possibly get. So
there would still be competition in that case.
It would be competition that, and also this would be dope. For the fans, because certain crossovers that we'll never get now, mm-hmm. we would get then.
Oh, yeah.
We would get Justice League versus Avengers. We would absolutely get that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Just saying. Something to think about.
Bruh. And then, forget Justice League versus Avengers. the how the MCU works, you would get like you get reimaginings more than likely, obviously mm-hmm. with fantasy mm-hmm. booking, mm-hmm. more than likely you would get reimaginings of big crossover events. So like for instance, imagine them being under the same studio and a Crisis on Infinite Worlds type of event happens and there are some Marvel characters involved, or a Secret Wars type of event and there are some DC characters. Like, yo, that could be crazy. Absolutely crazy. But bananas. It is ridiculous how these things keep happening to them. I just... It saddens me.
Now, the thing about it is, so we do realize that overall, these are rarities. These are not things that happen. Yeah. But it's just, it just adds to just the list
mm-hmm.
on the narrative chart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, y'all, there's something going. Y'all not.
Something's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Something ain't right over there.
Y'all ain't pay somebody back or whatever the case may be.
I'm going to put the blame on Warner Brothers, and I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put the blame on them because DC, and this people, it's easy to forget this if you, first of all, if you never knew it because you were too young, or it's been so long ago and Marvel has completely taken over pop culture.
Yeah.
But it's real easy to forget that DC was successful in the movies at one point.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They had Christopher Reeve's Superman. They had Michael mm-hmm. Keaton's Batman. Mm-hmm. They even had the Christopher Nolan Batman series. Like, they were successful at one point in the movies. I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yo, I just watched that chef show with Jon Favreau on Netflix. Yeah. I watched that episode with Kevin Feige and Tom Holland and RDJ and the Russo brothers. And they were talking about how, like, RDJ and Kevin Feige were talking about, well, and Jon Favreau were talking about how when they first did Iron Man, everybody was saying, oh, comic book movies won't last. And at the time, Batman was at the top of everything because The Dark Knight had just came out.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, not The Dark Knight, Dark Knight, yeah. Batman Begins came out, what, 06, 05?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
So Dark Knight had just come out, and they're like, yeah, we're going to put our best foot forward, but...
We don't know what we're going to be able to do with this.
Yeah, we're kind of up against a Goliath. And my, how things have changed.
Well, I think one of the things they did that helped is because sometimes, you know, you can try to follow a formula. Because a lot of times we'll say that about DC. Yo, Marvel put the shit in front of you.
Never.
But sometimes in this case, they realized the actor that they had. And they looked at the content that they had. Says, you know what? We're going to go in a slightly varied direction.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we're going to attempt to tease a collaborative universe.
And they screwed it up.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And I think the way Marvel shined was the fact that they teased a collaborative universe, which is something that DC didn't do. And that's one of the criticisms that they had about when Marvel first talked about doing it. I remember reading on Twitter from some of the DC execs chuckling at the fact of doing
this
a movie,
will never work.
Extended universe. It'll never work.
And this is how they
You're
screwed up.
You're wasting your time.
Right. This is how they screwed up, because the Marvel Cinematic Universe, before Avengers came out, they had Captain America movie, they had an Iron Man movie,
They had a
Hulk movie. They had a Thor movie.
Right.
All, and they had Iron Man 2.
Right.
All before the team-up movie happened.
Right.
So that's 5 solo movies. DC had 3 solo movies. Batman vs. Superman is not a solo movie.
Exactly, exactly.
They had Man of Steel. Actually, no, they had 2 solo movies. They had Man of Steel and they had Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Because Batman vs. Superman is not a solo movie.
Nope.
They had 2 solo movies before they tried to do that big team up. And it's like, it's not earned.
I think they messed up. I think first they rushed it. I really believe they rushed it because at the time, Marvel was already in the midst.
Oh, yeah. I want their, that. I want that. We shiny want that toy. Same.
Yeah, but you should have just waited and did your thing at your own pace.
Exactly.
Because we'd have been there for that as long as the movies was good. We'd have been there. We'd have waited. You know what I'm saying? Like
Justice League would probably be coming out next year.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it would have had the necessary hype.
Right.
It would have had us feeling a way because mm-hmm. we watched these other movies. It's the same way we felt we first saw Avengers. Mm-hmm. And what would have been so dope about it is while Marvel is going through its next evolution, we'd have still been having the early days of the Justice League.
Exactly.
Right now. And enjoying that. You know what I'm saying?
It would have been amazing.
It would have been amazing, but I guess it
wasn't. And now everything's in flux.
Everything's in flux and everything. Everything also rhymes with the word flux. So
like
they got a I don't know what I don't even know what to tell them to do at this point because they got a major investment. No,
they screwed it all up.
Yeah, I think they shit the bed on it.
It's nothing they can really do but just keep pushing forward try to make subtle adjustments here and there at this point.
What was the guy's name? Was Warren Appleby?
Which
something
one?
Like that? The guy that died, the coordinator.
Oh, yeah. Something like that.
Shout out to his family.
I'm sorry that that had to happen. Yeah. That's absolutely crazy. Moving on to lighter news. Actually, the rest of this episode, again, I can officially say it this time because I'm looking at the whole docket. The rest of this episode is generally trending up.
Yes. Yes, it is. All
right, so Avengers beats Avatar.
Now, hold up, wait a minute. Now, you know, and those who've been listening to the show for a while, you know, we have been talking about this whole Avengers Endgame and the strategy about them beating Avatar and all of this. Now, we knew this was going to happen. Did it look a little crazy?
Oh, yeah, it was shaky, baby.
It was looking a little shaky, baby. But we knew, first of all, the amount of time the Avatar had to get to where it was at was infinitely longer. It was much longer. So we knew it doesn't take much. People just keep trickling in. Money trickle in. And they have officially done it. Endgame, it's official. It's king of the world. King of the world.
So there was obviously there were going to be posts about this.
Oh yeah.
And I was able to lightly interact in one and get some content for the show.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So there was a post in one of the comic book groups that I'm in, everybody was congratulating the Avengers and blah, 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 blah. Typical shit for something like this. It's kind of a big deal.
It's a big deal. So
here comes the Debbie Downer.
They always come around, don't they?
Yeah, but compared to Avatar, Avengers had to try twice to do so. So Avatar is still way better in those respects.
Not really, because you're ignorant.
You're
ignorant to what they did. Like, you really believe they did all of that without a re-release, and they didn't.
So he tried to backtrack. Mm-hmm. He tried to backtrack, because people came at his neck.
Oh, I know they did.
They probably came a little harder than they should have, but it is what it is.
Now, that's possible, but at this point in time, because of the way I feel about the Endgame, the whole experience I had at Endgame, I think maybe they needed this was maybe a bit warranted, so nobody else would try that bullshit. But go ahead.
So he tried to backtrack a little bit after they came for his neck. Yeah, I do like Avatar, but I also like Avengers. Because one of the comments was like, oh my God, we found the Avatar fan. So he said, yeah, I do like Avatar, but I also like Avengers. I'm actually a comic book fan before I'm a fan of anything else. I just don't want people thinking Endgame was better just because it'd be Avatar. Now, here's the thing about this, sir. That's not what you just said. You're not keeping the same energy. Let me reread what he said. Yes,
please do.
Please but do. Compared to Avatar, Avengers had to try twice to do so. So Avatar is still way better in those respects. Wow. That is not the same as I just don't want people thinking Endgame was better just because it beat Avatar. That's not the same thing.
Also, that's irrelevant. The idea completely. That you don't want people to think that. People are going to think that anyway. And I'm going to tell you why I think that. I think that because I defy him to read for me, say for me.
No, he probably could. See, here's the thing. He's the one guy. He's the one guy that probably can.
Yeah, but even if he could, it won't even be hot. So what are you going to say? We're going into the jungle. That's the part for the. Okay. We're on another planet. Is that it?
I found the unobtainium.
Right. That's it. So that's it. That's not even hot. But I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you what's hot, though. Let me show you what's hot, just in case you're confused on your left. That's hot.
That's hot.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's got, like, relevance.
That's hot fire. Fire. So he goes on. He goes on because people were saying, you know, and so much, everybody wasn't mean to him.
Right.
Somebody was like, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Avatar have two releases as well?
Yes.
His response was, I don't think so. But even if it did, Avatar did it on the first try. So I responded. I said, Avatar re-released several times. Mm-hmm. You clearly don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the argument that Avatar, quote unquote, did it the first time around is a ridiculous one. You are either really smart and being manipulative or mm-hmm. you're not too bright.
Right.
The movie that was in second place that Avatar beat is Titanic. Endgame mm-hmm. broke that record the first time around as well.
Facts.
So this is an equal accomplishment. Avatar Facts. Didn't get to its current box office total on one release, and nope. it definitely didn't do it in a few months.
Nope.
What Avatar did was extremely impressive. This is no knock to them, but there is no reason to downplay what Endgame did. It was simply more impressive.
Yeah, it just was more impressive. Especially,
that's it.
Especially given the climate now. See,
yeah,
it's different now because motherfuckers be bootlegging shit like crazy.
Yeah, niggas ain't trying to go to the movies for real.
You know what I'm saying? So the fact that they did come on, like, yo, it's a phenomenon and you're going to have to deal with it.
Now,
I know you like the little tall blue things and they flying on stuff. And
they looked great.
And they look great. But that's, at the end of the day, that was Avatar's big
That's
draw.
All I can say. Yeah.
That
they
was
look
the
great.
Big draw.
They look absolutely amazing. Again, I will say that to this day, there are still to not many day. Things. All right, stop that. There's still not too many things that I will put above Avatar, as far as how they look.
Yeah, the cinematography, it was dope.
It was amazing.
That's what it was known for, my dude. Yeah. And let's not act crazy about that, all right?
I can't wait to see what Avatar 2 looks like.
Yeah, and they waited a long time to do it, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
That's really it, though. Like, guys, there's no reason to try to downplay this. This is not a downplayable feat.
It's not. And even more important, we won't let you.
Oh no, absolutely not. I will not allow any. I will not allow any in-game slander in my presence. Not at all.
You gonna get the smoke.
So, speaking of people getting smoke, cancel culture gone right.
Oh yes, it has.
So
yes, it has.
This is an old story, but I saw a post about it yesterday, and you sent that photo to the group, and I was like, "This is a sign. I must speak about this on the show."
Sometimes, stories have a beginning.
They have
a first act. They have a second act. This is the third act.
Yeah, because we covered the beginning of it.
Yep,
we covered the beginning of it, and we were left with a cliffhanger. So instead of giving my opinion, I'm going to read. Remember how yesterday or Monday for you listening, I said that there are some times when black media platforms just get it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just complete. Let me read verbatim this article. All right. So the headline is facially challenged singer.
Stop. Hold up. They called that man facially challenged.
Facially challenged singer Daniel Caesar's new album only sold 1,635 copies after he begged black people to cancel him. That's the headline. All right, let's get into this. Turning against your own people can sometimes have adverse reactions to your success. Hard stop. Okay, right. Just ask Daniel Caesar, whose sophomore album flopped like a balled up wet paper towel after he boldly asked black people to cancel him earlier this year. It all started back in March when the facially challenged singer put on his Captain Save-A-Ho cape to rescue his friend Yash Jules after she was rightfully dragged on Twitter for thinking that it's okay for her as a white woman to wear a t-shirt with the N-word on it.
Hold up. Mook, you're next. Go ahead.
Then there's this line she rapped in a very terrible freestyle. Because my ass is fat and my skin ain't black, I'm the vulture they're hunting, and yet they never do nothing. They never give back. They keep killing blacks. In defending his melanin-deficient friend, the guy with a face only a mother could truly love made some pretty ridiculous comments about how black folks are way too sensitive and should be more like white people. Mm-hmm. We're not going to repeat everything the black golem said because he said a mouthful, but you can read all about it, and there's a link. Cliff Notes. It was trash, but this is the part of his rant that really matters. Quoting Daniel Caesar, I've said what I've said before and y'all tried to cancel me and I apologize like a bitch. I don't believe in that shit because I think you guys are wrong and I think I'm right and you can cancel me. Don't listen to my next shit if you think I'm shit. Make me broke. Make me suffer for my opinion. I believe in it. So the article continues. Anyone with good sense in their heads would know that condemning and alienating a group of people who make up the majority of your fan base is career suicide. But unfortunately for Mr. Unfortunate Face, he didn't get that memo. When his second studio album, Case Study 1, was released nearly 2 weeks ago on June 28th, again, this is an old article, ladies and gentlemen, industry insiders predicted it would sell only 3,000 copies. Which is already a pretty pitiful projection.
Yes, it is.
And according to our good friends over at That Grape Juice, the Canadian singer actually sold less than the predictions. Let me see. In its launch week, Case moved a total of 22,000 units, a figure powered by 20,465 units generated on the likes of Apple Music, Tidal, Spotify, and Deezer, but only sold 1635, one of the lowest opening figures Billboard has ever seen. As a result,
put this in perspective for a second. I've outsold him. Go ahead.
As a result, it will spend its first week at number 14 in the U.S. after opening at 89 in the United Kingdom and 189 in Belgium. So the article goes on. Wow. Ouch. Now, mind you, Caesar's debut album, Freudian, released in 2017, received critical acclaim and earned him 3 Grammy nominations, as well as a trophy for the song Best Part with her. Of course, all of that was before the human eyesore begged black people to cancel him, and it looks like he got his wish. Meanwhile, Black Twitter's response to Dusty Daniels' album flopping has been a resounding, that's what your black ass gets, with some inquiring about his white homegirl's current whereabouts. One of the Twitter comments, that's crazy. Daniel Caesar really messed up his career caping for Jess Jules, and she ain't even supporting him anymore.
Nope.
Let me see, another Twitter comment. Daniel Caesar told black people to take notes from the winning team and cancel him if we disagree. Now look at his album sales. Okay. All right. Let me see. Daniel Caesar really looked at Yash Jules and thought, yeah, this is the hill I'm going to die on. And then this one was very interesting. Seems like it was just yesterday when Daniel Caesar was telling black people to just be nice to white people and racism would stop. And he that he didn't need black people to buy his albums. And then there's a picture of him at number 86. I guess this is Apple Music. There's a photo of a chart and he's number 86. Right below Blink-182's Greatest Hits album. A literal album titled Desperate Man. And an Audioslave album. And the article concludes, as the old saying goes, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it.
Wonk, wonk, wonk.
Yeah.
He that got what was his bad. Hand called for, yo. He got what his hand fact. Called for. That's a fact. Yo, and the bad thing about it is, like, I know people that would say, oh, we're not supposed to take pleasure and the misfortune of others.
Oh, I absolutely do.
Screw you.
Yeah.
Because with all the misfortune that has been
in the community, literally.
For him to go and punch down, and like you said, punch at people who are to make up the lion's share of your fan base. This is also.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
It's dumb. But this is also, I was telling my wife, this is also a lesson that a lot of you other artists need to know. If you go right now, to Daniel Caesar's Instagram, he has 1 million followers.
Mm.
1 million. This is a lesson for you. Do not mistake social media relevancy for actual paying customer base.
The crazy thing about that is
fan base.
Yeah, the crazy thing about that is they say that 10% of your audience interacts with you. So,
yep.
So he has 1 million followers, so that means 100,000 of them interact with him.
Mm-hmm.
And still, you can divide that by 100.
Yep.
And he barely eclipsed that figure as far as selling albums.
It's pathetic, especially a guy like you, it's bad. With all of that exposure.
This is all of that talent.
This also kills the idea that all exposure is good exposure. No, it's not.
Nah, bro. All exposure is only good exposure when people don't care.
Right.
People cared about this. And then you doubled down.
You doubled down.
It's the most dangerous move in all of sports and entertainment. Yo, I'm telling you.
It's not your friend, yo.
It's not your friend. No. Not only did he double down, he challenged Black Twitter.
Yes, he did.
Which challenge Black Twitter? Black Twitter is undefeated.
Cut it out.
Now there are people who like run afoul of Black Twitter and end up being all
right.
Right. But you don't go at but no.
It's the craziest thing ever, yo. And again, he got what his hand called for because like to go so hard. Like these are lessons, and I get he's young, but these are lessons that really need to be passed down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, stop thinking you gonna shit on your folks and they gonna put up with that shit forever. They not. Yeah. They just not. You know what I'm saying?
And yo said, all right, y'all cancel me then. And they was like, all right, hold my beer.
Right, hold my beer. Look, he said that as if he was saying, and this is the part that he didn't say. But this is the part where it sounds like the silent part of this was, y'all can cancel me because white people going to buy my stuff.
Basically. No, he implied that. He definitely implied it.
Yeah, he was wrong.
And that he's rant wrong. That he gave, he implied it. Yeah.
So, you know, you
look, I'm happy.
Learn from this. And when you go do your custodial work, at the next job, just understand that the other black people that work there, they don't want to hear you running your fucking cake hole.
Mm-mm. And they're not going to get along with you, buddy.
Listen.
They're not.
It's really only a very few people that can get away with having that face and still be successful. Dr. Doom is one of them. But he puts a mask on. All right?
Yo, the reason that I'm so happy about this, all jokes aside, is because it shows that there are still consequences.
Yeah.
That is my thing. Like, yeah. I hate when people can just get away with whatever they
say, whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, just because you're famous, like, no, nigga, like,
your fame there are consequences. Is contingent on your behavior. And one thing we
fame is fleeting.
It's fleeting, especially in this era, because it's not like it used to be. Like, he could have said that in a magazine, and
a bunch of people would have never saw it.
They mm-hmm. never saw it. It'd have been whatever. But when you say you shit like this on social media, this is where we at now. This I've had to tell artists that aren't nowhere near in the league of being known by millions of people, but I've had mm-hmm. to tell them, yo, the shit you put on your social media feed becomes part of your brand.
That's it.
That's it. So people, that's what people going to know you for. So you
people don't separate no more. There is no separation.
There's no separation for that, because this is how they interact with you.
Yep.
Years ago, they didn't have that. They have it now. And this is the new reality, and you got to kind of adjust to the new reality. So if you get on your little Instagram live and you're talking that dumb shit, and there's a group of people that you offending with that dumb shit, the other thing I don't understand is you don't got to do that, bro. You don't. You get more shit by being inclusive
mm-hmm.
than being repulsive.
Just period. Just period.
Period.
Yeah.
The object of the exercise is to draw people to you.
That's what I thought.
Not push people away.
Like, why are you doing this on the scale you're doing it if it's not about money?
I mean, come on.
If you just cared about the art, then put all your shit out for free.
Yo, it's so many platforms just to upload your shit.
Yeah.
For free. That, yeah, like, nah, man. It's
just put it out for free. It's
a business decision.
No, it was a horrible business decision. Like, come on. Like, yeah, I don't know.
You should have went to one of your white friends and they would have told you that.
No, I don't think they calling them back.
You're not even calling them back.
I don't think they calling them back. No. I haven't heard Yash Jules say anything about this.
And you won't either.
No, I highly doubt it. But anyway, off of Pale Daniel.
Hold on for a second. Hold on.
Right,
I'm back.
All right, moving on to the main course,
the main event,
Marvel Studios San Diego Comic-Con Hall H panel presentation. That's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful.
Kevin Feige. At this point in my life, can do no wrong.
Oh,
until
yeah,
he
definitely.
Shows me otherwise, I believe in him.
That should be
wholeheartedly.
I believe in Feige.
Facts.
I believe in Feige.
Facts. So first of all, to these so-called reporters, my issue that I have with them is when they're so, like, negative for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, it was people leading up to this panel saying that, and I'm talking about not just people on Facebook. I'm talking about people that get paid to report on this type of stuff.
Right, right, right.
Talking about there's absolutely no way we're going to get a phase four announcement and, you know, they're going to save all that stuff for D23 and they're not going to have time to talk because all of the cast from Endgame is going to be there. So they're not going to really have time to talk about anything new and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that.
I just want to know what it tastes like. The crow that they have to eat. I hope they seasoned it well.
I'm like, here's my thing about this. Are you that thirsty for content?
Yes. Because, in a nutshell, yes. Yes.
Because that's not even necessary. That's not even good reporting. It's not necessary.
Horrible. It's horrible reporting.
Because you can speculate and be wrong. That's fine.
Absolutely.
But to go so hard in this direction, you're saying it almost as if you have a source.
And you're guaranteeing us to right. not find you credible.
Yeah.
Again. By going, it's like, yo, you literally, mm-hmm.
like you, this one channel that I am subscribed to literally did two videos about how nothing big was going to come out.
They're hard up, yo. I'm telling you something. It's not that it's not a lot of content out there. It's that they want the most provocative, the hottest take. So they can put that shit in there on their titles of their videos and they come out with all the speculation and usually when stuff is negative, because this is how the human ape works, mm-hmm. when stuff is mm-hmm. negative, it draws more people towards it. So they go and they do that shit. And all it does is fucking, they fucked their credibility up with me a long time ago over the Captain Marvel shit.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? Like, yo, y'all know nothing. Shut the fuck up. It's only one, it's really only one channel on YouTube. We'll give him a shout out, even though he don't really need us to. Emergency Awesomeness.
I do watch Emergency Awesome.
He gets it right the vast majority of the time. The rest of y'all with these little
wait. Screen Junkies is pretty good.
Screen Junkies is pretty good.
Yeah.
The rest of you guys, man, like kick rocks, dude. Like,
yeah. Even Rob. From time to time, he goes off the deep end with these ridiculous predictions.
Tangents and predictions.
And it's like, why are you, this is, again, I say this all the time. I am not saying that the MCU is perfect. I say that. Not ever. But their track record suggests that things are going to be okay.
Yeah.
So my question is, why are you that? I realized this a while ago. I've stopped being a cynic and started being more of a proper skeptic.
Yeah, exactly.
As time has gone on. Why are you being so cynical? Because there are two ways to look at it. Either they've done this well so far, they're bound to mess up sometime. Or they've done this well so far, Disney has all the money in the world. I'm pretty sure it'll be okay.
I think it's not always going to be
the greatest thing in the world.
No, of course not.
It'll be okay. It'll be fine. Yeah. It'll be good enough to go see. Or even if you don't want to go pay money to go see it, it'll be good enough to watch when it comes out on DVD. Fact. Like, come on, cut it out. That's just where we are.
I think what's going on with a lot of these people too, with Rob, it might be a little different. But the reason I said a little different is I think, see, some of these guys, I don't know that they have a love for this.
Yeah, Rob actually has a genuine love.
Rob has a genuine love for this, but he also has, unfortunately, in my opinion, the arrogance that comes with being an influencer that has succeeded. So a lot of times he makes these bold predictions out of left field because he feels like I have the authority. Mm-hmm. Look at what I'm doing. And it's a very human thing. You know what I'm saying? But you can tell he generally loves this. These other guys, I just don't feel that. I feel like this is just content to them.
Yeah. Some of them be saying the dumb shit like about the Spider-Man not accepting a drink with Mysterio being a plot hole.
Yeah.
You clearly didn't watch the movie.
You obviously didn't.
And for the average layperson to miss that is fine. But you get paid to report on this stuff.
This is what you do every day and all day. It reminds me, I think the other reason why you got these people doing this, I'm going to quote the Green Goblin from the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie. where he said, well, to each his own, I chose my path, you chose the way of the hero. And they found you amusing for a while, the people in this city. But the one thing they love more than a hero is to see a hero fail, fall.
That's a fact.
Die trying. In spite of everything you've done for them, eventually they will hate you. This is what's going on with the MCU in this upcoming thing. Because
AKA, either you die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
Basically, this is the same thing, yo. Like, these people, I've been seeing the prediction of the fall of the MCU now. I'ma say ever since before, right, like months before the Captain Marvel movie came out, I started seeing this a lot. Well, that's the end of the MCU. And I laugh and but chuckle at these people. Because it's not. Do you?
They
not
never
know
said
what they
that.
Did?
Yeah, what they did was unprecedented.
Come on.
And what they did here, because we about to go into this. What they did here is said, "Oh, you think we're done?
Right?
Okay, right. I got you.
Oh, you think it's over?
I got you. You think it's over? Okay. When we said the end, we meant the end of that saga. We are not done by a long shot.
When these losers say the end, they're attaching it to some agenda they have of butthurtness. Like, I don't like the fact that the Captain Marvel is the most powerful. You attached it to that fuck shit instead of the love that this thing. Like, yo, we are comic book fans. We like this shit. You should be excited about this shit. Not running around talking about, it's the end of the MCU as we know it.
But, I mean, like, cut it out. That's not the case. Anyway, so let's get into it. All right, so Marvel Studios, The Eternals, starring Richard Madden as Icarus, Kumail, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, we're going to get into that problem, too. It's a problem.
Kumail Nanjiani, I think that's close. I apologize if I got that wrong, as Kingo, Lauren Ridloff as Makari, Brian Terry Henry as Fastos, Salma Hayek as Ajak.
Just stop for a second. So I'm confused. I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
But it does confuse me why they chose to do this.
Yeah.
See, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because I have seen what they've done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? Like Carol Benning, I mean, Annette Benning being Mar-Vell.
Exactly.
That worked.
I'm trying to figure out what this is about. Is it about her name recognition?
Probably.
Because Salma Hayek does have a name.
Yeah.
But Ajax in the comic book, and we're going to say this before all of the, I don't like when people come out there. Ajax in the comic books is actually a male character.
Yeah.
In the comic book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so they obviously have
A reason.
Something up their sleeve.
There's a plan.
There's a story reason for this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we're going to wait to see how it plays out. But I'm putting it out there now because all of the people who really don't read this deep into the comic books for real, because a lot of you motherfuckers don't know who Ajax is.
Right. It just will see a picture of him being a man. And then you let your butt hurt fly.
Go with that.
Yeah.
Yo, guys like me who know who Ajax is and has read several stories with him in it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it.
It is what it is.
You know damn well you couldn't cite an issue of a comic book with Ajax in it because he's not one of the super popular characters.
Yeah, he's obscure.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So miss me with your indignation about him. But they got him into a girl. You didn't care about him when he was a guy. You didn't care.
All right, so Leah McHugh as Sprite, Don Lee as Gilgamesh, and Angelina Jolie as Thena. The Eternals, directed by Chloe Zhao, another woman director, will come to theaters November 6, 2020. I have absolutely no thoughts on this. I feel like it's going to be a great movie.
They can do with this pretty much what they want because these characters are obscure. Like, you have to be into the Marvel universe to really understand their place in it.
Yeah.
So their lore is so
and even
deep,
still
so convoluted.
When it comes to the movie, they might change that.
Right.
And this is a great cast. So
yeah,
I just want to see the movie. Like,
Yo, I feel like the slate for this is clear. Like, they can literally write what they want here because the average person that doesn't
has
know
who no these characters idea. Are, yeah.
has
it's
no
kind of like Guardians. They
have no expectations. Yep.
It's kind of like Guardians.
Yep.
And the other thing I like about this is not this movie in particular, but the fact that we have Phase 4 is basically going to be 2 years.
Yeah, it's not going to be a long, drawn-out thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually smart.
Yo, so...
That's actually smart.
For those of you that didn't see, basically, the way that Kevin Feige started off the damn presentation was with a image of Phase 4 and 14 slots.
Yep.
And the internet broke. At that point, before anything had been announced, the internet broke. All right, so next up is the first show coming exclusively to Disney Plus, Marvel Studios, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan came on stage to greet the fans, and it was revealed that Daniel Brühl will return as the villain Baron Zemo.
Zemo.
With the purple mask.
With the mask, as it turns out.
Marvel's Studios, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier will come to Disney Plus in the fall of 2020. Now, this I'm excited for.
Me too.
This is something I'm extremely excited for. Number one, because... Marvel is such geniuses with their marketing. Because several things. Quick anecdote that I found out the other day. You remember the scene in the trailer for Infinity War where Hulk was running in Wakanda with everybody else?
Yes.
Was not created for the trailer. There was, the Russos did a Hall H with the writers of Endgame and Infinity War. The original plan for Infinity War was for Hulk to become Professor Hulk while he was in the Hulkbuster suit.
Facts.
And bust out of it and he would be with them. So that wasn't just made for the trailer. That was shot because that was how it was supposed to go. But when they decided to cut it, they kept that shot in the trailer just to throw the people's scent off.
Right.
That's amazing. So anyway, coming back to this, when they first talked about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the logo didn't have the shield on it.
Nope.
Because it would have been a spoiler for Endgame.
Facts.
So, like, I'm just so impressed by the way that... Some people might say, yeah, they're a $1 billion company... They can afford to do stuff like this. You are correct. However, we see plenty $1 billion companies fuck up.
Fuck up all the time.
All the time. So
all the time.
Hats off for them for this. But
and also, speaking back to that marketing thing you was talking about, they're about to get the Disney Plus thing, which I need that in my life.
Yo.
Need that in my life.
November.
And the thing is. The way they're doing this phase is unlike the other phases because
absolutely.
It's a mixed bag now of movies and their television series that's going to be on the Disney Plus channel, right?
Yeah.
So now people are going to feel like, oh shit, I've got to go watch this to keep up with the overall story arc in this phase.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It's amazing.
Because now they're going to get all these people that was going to go.
Take all my money.
They was going to get a bunch of people that was going to get that app anyway.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But now if you are MCU person like we are.
Take all my money.
Come on.
All of it.
It's a must get.
Like, you want my check and just give me the money for bills and shit?
Right.
Like, we can arrange that.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah. That's it. So I'm really, really, really excited at the fact that Zemo is back. Like,
yeah,
because
and
one of the
back,
things
he's Thunderbolt Zemo, back,
right? Because one of the ways we talk about it, the MCU, one of the things we definitely talk about being a negative is their villain problem. And Zemo was one of the better villains, but it seemed as if they were done with him.
Yeah, it did. It seemed like it was over.
Yeah,
was
over. And but they didn't kill him. So I was happy about that, but, and that's the thing. So I saw another thing about... Matter of fact, we'll get to that when we talk about one of these movies. All right, so next up is a classic Marvel Comics character making his movie debut. Marvel Studios Shang-Chi... Oh, this is the one that I wanted to talk about. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings starring Simu Liu...
The Ten Rings?
And that's the point. That's the point. I'm going to get to it after I read this. Simu Liu... in the title role, appearing alongside Liu will be Awkwafina in an undisclosed role and Tony Leung as the real Mandarin. Marvel Studios, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings will be directed by Destin Daniel Cretton in theaters February 12, 2021. Side note about this, Liu was just cast last Tuesday. Like, so literally... He got accepted. He did a screening. He did a screening. What's today? He did a screening last Saturday, was casted Tuesday, and showed up at Comic-Con this Saturday that just passed.
Because he's about that life.
Facts. So what the point that I was just making before I read that part was the thing about Marvel Studios is they have so many creatives involved that somehow make it work. That they can throw out any obscure reference in hopes that maybe potentially it'll eventually possibly have the potential to be touched on in the future.
right.
And if it is, it just makes them look even greater. The fact that you had Iron Man 3 with the Mandarin shit, and the fact that you had, in a couple other movies, you had references to the Ten Rings. And you had, like, henchmen with the symbol on their neck and all this other type stuff. And what better way to debut a new character than to essentially make his debut a sequel to Iron Man?
Yeah, facts.
That's how they worked it with Mysterio. Yep. It is so they are so smart with the marketing.
It's pretty smart, man.
It's the craziest thing, yo. It's
impressive.
It's extremely impressive. And of course, again, they casted ethnically correctly.
Yes, they did. Play games with it.
And that is impressive because I always contend, I don't have this argument out loud because idiots might take it the wrong way. But in my head, I always contend I don't care as much about how a person looks as I care about how they can handle the character. So I imagine that it's hard to find somebody with the right look and the chops to pull it off. So the fact that they feel that they have been batting 1,000 pretty much with their casting is so impressive.
And what would have been crazy, like they avoided the bullshit, because you gotta remember they already had an incident with the first Doctor Strange movie
with Tilda Swinton. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And I always said that the people that had criticisms about it, they were right to criticize.
Yeah,
and say what you say, because I get it.
Yeah,
that character is Asian.
That's a fact.
We don't get a lot of representation.
No, not at all.
The one Asian character. So they avoided that completely because fuck, it looked like you going to get some white guy.
No,
to play
they couldn't do that again. They couldn't
That's
do that
not
again.
Happening.
They couldn't
like,
do
no.
it again. They could we not riot. Do it again. You're now, saying. Here's the thing. Luckily, that backlash died down because she killed it.
Yeah, she crushed it. She crushed it.
But also, I don't think they would have survived
one
a second.
Is an obscure.
Yeah.
She's kind of obscure. Like people know who Doctor Strange is. Of course. But she is so obscure.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't Shang-Chi.
Nah, bro.
Marvel's Bruce Lee. You
Facts.
Can't. Like that's not gonna work, bro. It's not gonna work.
Nah, that's not.
That's like
they're not gonna
that's
let that
like
slide.
T'Challa pulling off his mask. And he's fucking
Brad Pitt with some shit.
Listen, that's not gonna get it, bro.
It doesn't work.
Shang-Chi.
It doesn't work. So I'm definitely excited for this. I'm always excited for new minorities getting the spotlight in
get
the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also looking forward to. I'm always happy to see a new style of movie introduced into the MCU.
And look, now, the other thing I like about it is that it kind of went past the expectations of the people, because people were expecting the Mandarin to be in the Iron Man movie because he is a villain that Iron Man fights, especially in classic Marvel.
Yeah.
But he fits right in this role too.
Absolutely.
He fits right here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's impressive. Whether it's...
They do this right.
Like Shang, I said,
they
yo.
They do this right. Shang-Chi going to be one of the favorites in the new
Oh, yeah. Like I said, yo, whether it was absolutely planned or it was a happy accident, they make things work.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. All right, moving up next. Marvel Studios' WandaVision, an original series starring Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, reprising their MCU roles as Wanda Maximoff / Scarlet Witch. That's important, and I'm going to get to that in a second. And Vision. Co-starring with them is Tayana Paris, whom Feige revealed will be playing the adult Monica Rambeau.
Listen, so what we're saying to you is Photon is in the building.
Yo!
Photon is in the building.
Who was introduced as a child in Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel.
And what did I say when the Captain Marvel movie came out? I said they're not going to just
That's not happenstance.
Have her there just for that. Yeah. We're going to get Photon.
Yeah.
We're going to get Photon.
Yeah. Marvel Studios' WandaVision will arrive on Disney Plus in the spring of 2021. So that is going to be amazing. Here's the thing. Couple things that I took from reports about this moment. Number one, they kept saying the word weird. They kept saying that this would be really weird. I'm all for that. Another thing that I'm thinking about, notice how the title is spelled. There is no space.
Right.
It stands the potential that somehow Vision isn't really back. So that would be, I'm really intrigued by this. I'm looking forward to see.
Also, from the stuff that I've been reading, it's going to delve into the chaos magic. So she's going to be
Scarlet Witch.
She's going to be full on Scarlet Witch.
She said this is the moment in the MCU when she is going to be the most Scarlet Witch.
Now, why that's important, well, this is why this is important. So, for those of you unfamiliar with the character, there was a certain period of time where Wanda had a feverish mind. And she said the three magic words.
No more mutants.
And she rewrote reality. And wrote mutants out of it. Feige mentioned doing the thing, mutants.
No, we're going to get to that too. We're going to get to that too.
So it's very possible she might get a chance at some point to utter those three words.
Bro. Mutants. Yo.
The theater will explode.
And if you paid attention, not once in the MCU has anyone referred to her as Scarlet Witch.
Nope.
Not to this point.
Nope.
So for that because we forget, because of how long has passed in real life, she's still young with her powers.
She's very young.
So she hasn't reached her full potential. That shit, you thought that shit in the Endgame was impressive?
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Man.
Let's not gloss over. It was.
It was impressive. It was definitely. Thanos.
She washed Thanos.
I don't even know who you are. Oh, you do now.
You will.
So, WandaVision comes out on Disney Plus in the spring of 2021. I'm definitely excited for that one. Moving on, MCU's favorite trickster, Loki, will also make his way to Disney Plus. Marvel Studios' Loki, an original series starring Tom Hiddleston, will see the God of Mischief causing even more trouble starting in the spring of 2021. Obviously, this is the Loki from Endgame.
Yep.
This is not the lovable Loki. This isn't the lovable Loki that we've learned. Like, he hasn't made it there yet. And he probably won't. Because
you're right. The shit that's about to happen.
I don't think there will be a Thor around. So I don't think that he will have that situation where he bonds with his brother.
Now this is why the next item. This is why this is important too.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
So these last two tie into this. Marvel Studios, yep. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, starring Benedict Cumberbatch as Stephen Strange, with Scott Derrickson returning as director, but joining Doctor Strange this time around will be the Scarlet Witch, played by Elizabeth Olsen. In another twist, the events of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness will connect with the Disney Plus series, yep, WandaVision. Marvel Studios' Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness will cast its spell in theaters May 7th, 2021. Man. Oh my good. Listen.
Man.
This is going to be ridiculous. Also, yeah, on top of that, even though I'm not a fan of the genre, Scott Derrickson has come out and straight up said, this will be a horror movie.
Yeah.
So, maybe Nightmare?
I imagine Nightmare will be here. And the reason that this is crazy is because it opens up the door for a lot of characters and it saves them a lot of time, because you figure, for some of these characters, they do need, in order for them to be done right, kind of an exhaustive explanation or whatever.
Yeah,
they can just introduce these as multiversal versions of the ones that may or may not exist in their 616, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But this opens a doorway
for everything
Loki to return into the main, because we're talking now. They're delving into the multiverse.
Yep.
They're delving into that now. And this Loki that didn't bond with his brother, that did escape, wasn't in prison. You know what I'm saying? This Loki, very possibly, now they opening the door for the multiverse, could find himself, his way, that is an option, into their 616.
What if... All right, so these are shows. I don't know if this stands for all of them, but I think most of them are going to be short, limited series.
Short, yeah.
So
yeah,
like 8 episodes or less or so. Right. This is purely speculation. This would be interesting. What if Loki shows up in Doctor Strange and ends up challenging him for the role of Sorcerer Supreme?
And becomes the Sorcerer Supreme.
Ugh.
Because that actually happened in the comics, although it was one of Loki's tricks.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yo.
That would be insane. Though the other good thing about that is, I have felt for the longest time that Loki, and all really all the Asgardians, but Loki in particular has been underpowered for years now.
Yeah.
If you look at the original Avengers story, Loki was God.
Facts.
He like, his power level was off the hook. And they even said, if you look at some of the descriptions and some of the message boards and stuff, where you had the writers even saying his magic was kind of close to on par with a lot of the heavy hitters in the magic realm over there. He wasn't just, oh, I shapeshift.
Right.
Or I can make copies of myself. Nah. Look, right. He was on some other shit originally. You Facts. Know, he was, these, when they said gods, these were gods. Yeah. Like, they had power.
Mm-hmm.
So, this I feel like, introducing him into the magic realm is a chance for us to show him. Because I'm still pissed we never saw one example, for real, of the Odin Force, except for when he banished Thor.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the clearest side, showing the Odin Force. We never saw it. I feel like that was, in a lot of respects, it really robbed us, because it told us Odin was one of the most powerful beings in the MCU, but you never showed it.
Right. I wouldn't be.
Exposition said it.
I wouldn't be mad if Loki ended up being a big bad for Phase 5.
Oh, easily.
I wouldn't be mad. I would not be mad.
Neither.
That would be very interesting. All right, moving on. The legacy of the What If comics will be adapted to the screen. Marvel Studios' What If, the first animated series in the MCU, will star Jeffrey Wright as the voice of the Watcher. Many actors from across the MCU will reprise their roles as voice talent. What If will present alternate realities in the Marvel Universe that are set to warp your world in the summer of 2021, exclusively on Disney Plus.
I've been waiting for them to do something with What If books for the longest time.
Oh my goodness.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Absolutely ridiculous. That just opens the door for all kinds of shenanigans.
Well, imagine this. Imagine when it first opens up and Jeffrey Wright says, "I am Uatu, the Watcher." That is classic. That is classic Marvel.
Facts.
Classic Marvel.
Facts. I think the first story is going to be if Peggy Carter became Captain America.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's going to be the first story. So I'm down. Yeah, definitely. And the fact that it's animated gives more possibilities for craziness. It just is what it is. They can do everything. And it's a what if. So they can literally do whatever they want.
And please, because lately in the last few years, Marvel animation has been trash. Please get people that know what they're doing to do.
But since Kevin Feige is in charge of this, I'm pretty sure it'll be,
You need that.
Yeah, because that's the thing. They made it clear that Kevin Feige, like all of this is Marvel Studios. All of this. This is not Marvel Television. This is not, no. All of this is Marvel Studios. So they made that point clear. All right, moving on. Another character from the MCU will appear on the small screen. Marvel Studios' Hawkeye, starring Jeremy Renner, who joined Kevin Feige on stage, share more details about the show, which will introduce Kate Bishop, who has been hitting her mark in Marvel Comics. Marvel Studios' Hawkeye will come to Disney Plus in the fall of 2021. I'm actually excited about this too. Yeah,
Hawkeye deserves this because there is a feeling that he's been kind of left out.
That's a fact.
He deserves it.
I heard that potentially they were going to cover, they were going to give a lot more backstory on the whole Ronin character.
Okay.
Also, very interesting, Jeremy Renner kept saying that Kate Bishop is best Hawkeye. So that'll be interesting to see how that ends up.
How that plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that, all right, yes, Hawkeye didn't get the shine that he probably should have gotten in so far, period. His biggest role was obviously in Endgame, but that even was like, when it was announced that we were going to get Ronan, I was so excited. I thought that we would get more of Ronan, and that's not really what happened. He ended up reverting back to Hawkeye. So, it's cool, but it's not what I wanted. I wanted him to have I wanted him to keep that same energy throughout the rest of the movie. But I do understand the fact that he still didn't have powers. So,
exactly.
There was not much he could have done.
Getting super brawling.
Wouldn't have behooved him to do such. But nevertheless, I am definitely here for this. I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see what happened with Ronan, and I want to see what ends up happening with Kate Bishop. Moving on. It was also revealed that someone from Thor's story will return to the MCU. Natalie Portman will return for Marvel Studios' Thor: Love and Thunder, joining stars Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson. Taika Waititi returns as director, and he confirmed that Jane Foster will become the Mighty Thor, Goddess of Thunder. Marvel Studios' Thor: Love and Thunder will arrive in theaters November 5th, 2021. Now, I know you have mixed feelings on this.
Yeah, because I was not one of those people who felt a way about Jane Foster having a hammer. For those who don't read fucking comic books, this is not the first time that there has been a female version of Thor. It's not, all right? And yes, it came on a bit kind of strong in the first couple of issues, but as it went on, it got better. Mm-hmm. Yes, the last her last foray as Thor, the way they ended it was a bit inconsistent.
Right.
Because that's that damn Jason Aaron with the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But I overall was not, I didn't feel a way about it. There was some, got some good stories out of that.
Yeah.
My issue is with Natalie Portman. Her rendition of Jane Foster has been very dry.
To this point.
And I was glad she was not in Ragnarok.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when they say they're bringing her back, my first thought is boo. Now, my second thought is Taika Waititi.
Well, here's my thing.
So
with that part of it, I agree with you. However, I know that Natalie Portman can act.
Yeah.
That is...
Yeah, she absolutely can.
That is... Between that and Taika and the fact that it's an MCU property, I'm here for it.
I think, more so than anything, Taika Waititi being... The direction he decides to go with the franchise is what's going to make this... Make me eat words.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying? Because nobody expected that shit.
No, not at all.
Ragnarok.
Yo, I'm hearing that basically she's leaving Thor for Valkyrie.
Yeah. Well, it's already happened in the comic books, so.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting.
It is.
That is going to be really interesting. So, because basically Tessa Thompson was like, yeah, I'm king of Asgard right now, and every king needs his queen. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yep, okay.
They're doing that.
That works. I'm with it. I'm here for this shit. So, I'm here for it. Taika, that plot line, because things have been awkward between Thor and Jane. Yep. So I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm absolutely here for it 100%. I agree with you that she has played Jane rather dry. But
take the franchise as serious.
But what I will also say is those directors didn't take the franchise as serious.
That's a fact. Maybe they took it too serious.
Or maybe they took it too serious. Yeah.
They didn't do it justice.
So anything that happened in those first two movies, I'm willing to forget.
Right.
Because we now have a winning formula for Thor.
Right.
And that is Taika, Chris, Tessa. That's pretty much it, because Taika also voices Korg. So
Facts.
As long as you have those three elements, I'm pretty sure it'll end up being something dope.
Facts.
All right, so moving on. It looks like we're going to find out a lot more about Natasha Romanoff, Marvel Studios Black Widow, starring Scarlett Johansson, reprising her MCU role. She will be joined by David Arbor as Alexi, aka the Red Guardian, Florence Pugh as Yelena, I don't know how to pronounce, Fagbaney. I guess, as Mason, and Rachel Wise as Melina. Kate Shortland is directing, another woman director. Marvel Studios Black Widow will come out in theaters May 1st, 2020.
Let me give my prediction for this.
Okay.
So, you know how Winter Soldier came out? I think we're going to see another Winter Soldier.
You know what? I agree. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to take place after Civil War.
Yeah, it is.
Though in that time where, you know, Iron Man basically told her, run and watch your back.
Right. But I think from a stylistic approach.
Yes.
This is why I'm
It's going to be a bunch movie. Of hand-to-hand combat.
She's going to be fucking people up.
Oh my God. Movie. And we get Taskmaster.
Yeah, Taskmaster.
Yo.
We're going to see some crazy fight scenes.
Man.
Look. Come on now.
Listen.
We already saw her kick some ass.
Listen.
And this is a whole movie of her doing that?
Listen.
Yeah.
What I don't want Taskmaster to die.
No, please don't kill him off.
Because And here's the thing. I contend that not only is Black... Well, prior to the events of Avengers Endgame, not only was Black Widow best fighter, but she had powers.
Here we go.
It just is what it is, bro. Again. She had powers. So
there is no lore to support this.
It's in the details. I'm telling you, she had powers. She's going to fight Taskmaster. In order for her to win, one of two things is going to have to happen. She's going to have to realize her powers, which probably won't happen because of Endgame. You know, we already...
She has no powers.
No, she has powers. Because we've already seen the character after the events of this movie, so that's probably not going to happen. But the second thing is, she's going to have to team up with what might be the next Black Widow.
Yes. Yes. I also think Taskmaster can be outsmarted.
Yes.
Deadpool has shown this. Deadpool has shown this in the comic book. Right?
Facts.
He can be outsmarted.
Yeah. He can be beat. It's just that with Black Widow's apparent lack of powers... And she's best fighter, but Taskmaster is best fighter.
Yes. Also, hot take coming. Taskmaster can be Batman. I said it.
Taskmaster can absolutely be Batman hand to hand.
I said it.
Hand to hand. Hand to hand. Batman doesn't stand a chance. Yeah. Hand to hand with no chance. 30. Body bag. Taskmaster. Yeah,
listen.
Yeah.
Gadgets. Listen.
Close range gadgets. Taskmaster still wins. Taskmaster Edge. Long range gadgets. All right, Batman can win that.
Batman got an advantage.
Yeah.
First time, Batman anything, got an advantage.
Yeah. But anything short range, two hand to hand, I'm giving that to Taskmaster.
Anything that's remotely a chance encounter in an alley. Batman's getting his ass whipped.
Clearly. Without question. Because here's the thing. You can't outfight Taskmaster. You can outsmart him. Sure. Right. You can't outfight Taskmaster. He just copies everything.
And I'm telling you something. The only people I see that have a distinct advantage over him are the guys that not only do they fight well, but they have super strength. He can't copy somebody that's coming like in Luke Cage, 80 ton plus.
Like Luke Cage at post Danny Rand training.
Yeah.
It's probably going to beat Taskmaster.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Luke Cage is going to beat his ass because all of that, copying Luke Cage's style doesn't mean
it's not going to help you. It's not really going to help you. But I love that. You know, the only reason I hope that Taskmaster doesn't die is because I want him to be a villain for another series.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't necessarily want him in the movies because I feel like if they're going to continue this route, then there will still be the more grounded movies every once in a while. But I figure the more grounded content will go to Disney Plus.
Yeah, but I also feel like this. If he survives, you know the Thunderbolts are not going to be exactly the comic books. I could see Taskmaster as a member of the Thunderbolts.
Well, of course, Venom isn't there. But yes, absolutely. Yeah,
they haven't introduced Ares.
Yeah.
They haven't introduced some of the other guys, and it's like, Taskmaster could be a good replacement for somebody.
That is a fact. That is absolutely a fact.
Do not kill the Taskmaster.
Please do not kill the Taskmaster. All right, so this was the end of the presentation, right?
You think.
And what happened was, I don't know when, I can't remember what order they announced the Black Widow movie in, but when they announced the Black Widow movie, they handed out hats for the Black Widow movie. Kevin Feige was basically like, you know, this. Thank you everybody for coming out. This concludes our presentation for this year. it was a short thing, so, you know, we didn't really get time to talk about Black Panther 2. We didn't really get time to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. We didn't get time to talk about Captain Marvel 2. We definitely didn't have time to talk about the Fantastic Four. And we definitely didn't have time to talk about mutants. But what we
the problem is, this was his way of revealing all of this shit without having to go into detail about
facts.
It. That's the issue.
He said, but we'll give you one more thing. Mahershala Ali, come out. So Mahershala comes out and said, so we handed out these hats, but looks like Mahershala has his own hat. Can you show the crowd what's on that hat? So Mahershala pulls out the hat, puts it on, blade on the hat.
I lost my shit.
Lights go down. Blade comes up on the big screen in all red letters.
Lost my shit.
I think I called this. When we were talking about Blade, about Blade, and they were talking about Wesley Snipes being involved, I said, I will something bad is going to happen if they try to make Wesley Snipes be Blade. I would rather see Mahershala Ali.
I remember you said that.
And we got Mahershala Ali. This was, it was a lucky guess, obviously. I didn't have any inside knowledge. Though,
you didn't have any advanced knowledge. But also, I gotta address this. I saw some people, the vast majority of people that saw that I witnessed was like, yes, okay, I'm with this. But there were some that were saying, I want Blade. I want Wesley Snipes to be Blade.
I hate you. You're being stupid.
You're being dumb.
Wesley
right now.
Snipes is 77 years old.
Yo.
I don't care what his birth certificate
Wesley
says.
Wesley Snipes' advanced age.
Right.
For you to sit up here just to stroke your nostalgic fantasies.
Right.
To have this old guy come up here and try to play this role. Listen, man. First of all, if you think Wesley's not involved with this in some way, you're
of course
bugging.
He is.
He was already on Sway in the Morning saying that he was already in talks with Kevin Feige. So what is that telling you?
Yeah.
I know it made some of you think that he's going to be Blade. No, nigga. Because what these other people don't seem to get is when Wesley was doing the Blade movie series, he was heavily involved with the creative side of it as well. Yeah. It was his production company, Amon-Ra Productions, that had a lot to do with this.
Right.
So they weren't going to do a Blade movie without his input. That would have been dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
And also disrespectful as hell.
Because that's kind of like the godfather of the Marvel comic book renaissance.
Yeah. They was Feige ain't on that disrespectful shit. But for you to sit up there and think he was going to put that black coat on.
Yeah, bro.
And put them glam shades in that suit and do that.
Bro.
All these years, come on, dog. Like y'all being unrealistic right now.
Yeah.
Y'all really are.
There may be a scene with him dressed up.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
But no, he's not
the homage.
Blade. Yeah. He's not Blade. Mahershala is Blade.
And there's enough time that for all of you that are saying, but he doesn't know martial arts. Let me just say something to you for a second. You niggas didn't know that Wesley knew martial arts before that movie. I need y'all to stop, man.
First of all, my first question is, how do you know he does not know martial arts?
Thank you. They didn't know that Wesley knew it until he did that.
That's my first question. Though. My second question is, I don't know if people understand that martial arts aren't something that you're born with.
You have to learn that. It's something you have to learn.
No, I think there's a genuine confusion because clearly,
I think so too.
If the argument is that he doesn't know martial arts, then clearly they believe that this is something that you're born with.
You're born on, don't you? You didn't know that it's a mutant power to know martial arts?
No, I had no idea.
Listen. So he can't learn it.
Right.
So we're going to sit here and act like Black Widow.
Right. We know Scarlett Johansson didn't know.
Scarlett Johansson ain't know no damn martial arts. And come on. So we're going to act like Keanu Reeves knew martial arts before The Matrix.
No.
I'm going to need y'all to fall back.
Wait. I know Kung Fu.
Yeah. show me. So Lawrence Fishburne, new martial arts.
Right. Come on now. Cut that shit out.
I'm gonna need y'all. I need y'all to like. I get the fandom. I respect.
Yeah.
Wesley the same way y'all do because I always thought they were some badass movies.
Oh yeah.
The last one. Well, but they were some badass movies.
Last one was funny though.
I contend
that that Blade Trinity was the first time that Ryan Reynolds played Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I contend. That is my story and I'm sticking absolutely. To it.
but the whole thing is, I respect it too. We all do. Like, but don't sit up here and act like that was going to be a thing in 2000.
Yeah.
They didn't even give a date.
Right.
Because it's so far off from what they're doing now. It's probably not even going to be in this short phase, of course. They already showed you the movies.
Or it might be the last movie.
Or it might be the last movie in the phase. There's plenty of time for this man. You don't know what this man did to even prepare to get.
Facts.
Shut up. Shut up.
We've already seen him be good in fight scenes.
Yes.
Like, let's not
crush this.
Yeah, man. Let's not act like. Let's not act like he's not an Academy Award winning actor.
You know, let's not act like that he can't be intimidating.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
let's not act like we didn't see Cottonmouth.
Right.
Come on now.
Just need him to stop though. He's gonna hit the look. We all see what happens. They transform these people.
Oh yeah.
They got trainers.
Mm-hmm.
That transform
Did
them
you
physically.
See Chris Pratt before Star-Lord?
Yo, Chris Pratt was a fat boy.
Right.
Did you see
Andy
you
Dwyer?
See
Come on
Chris
now.
Chris Evans. Did you
right.
see Chris Evans?
Yeah, he was a frat
Come
boy.
On, man. Come on, stop it.
Yeah, cut it out. Stop did you it. Did you know what RDJ used to do? Like, cut it out, people.
Yeah.
And this isn't somebody who has these problems. Yo,
right.
Yo, let me. So for anybody that has memory loss somehow, or no, you have to have memory loss because if you're too young to know, then you don't care about Wesley.
Exactly.
So, for anybody who's suffering through memory loss, RDJ was a degenerate.
Junkie.
Chris Evans was a frat boy. He was known for Not Another Teen Movie and playing the Human Torch. And what's the third person?
Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt was Andy Dwyer. Fat Andy Dwyer.
Like, he was fat in a Wanted movie. The Sorcery, yeah, nigga was fat in that movie.
Right. Come on,
yo. Stop, yo. Like, seriously, like, I think I get it, the fervor of it and the nostalgia of it. Y'all getting jammed up with, no, but I want the. I get it, but yo, it's pull back the
Dave Bautista was a wrestler with like 2 acting credits to his name.
Yeah. Now he had to do nothing. He didn't have to change nothing physically because he was a beast.
No, absolutely not.
He was a beast in the game. But come on, man! Like, I'm gonna need y'all to stop acting. Are we really going to forget that actors do this sort of thing all the time?
They it's called acting.
For a role, they lose weight for a role. Come on, they do their research for the role. Like, stop it with the bullshit, all right?
That's really my thing. It's possible that it might not work, but you have no reason to believe it won't work.
Right.
That's my issue.
You can't use, you don't know martial arts, as an excuse because you don't know what that man know.
You have no idea what that man know.
You have no idea what that man know. So
Impossible for you to know if he knows martial arts or not. B, impossible for you to know what his learning curve is.
Exactly.
C, also, impossible for... Stunt impossible for you to know, yo, right?
Like, stop, yo.
Y'all I was just watching a video with a stunt double for that did the stunt coordinator for the Daredevil series.
Right.
And he was saying, yeah, Charlie, what's his last name? Cox.
Last name.
Charlie Cox did some stunts. Definitely he did. Some of that was him, but at the end of the day, there was still a stunt double available.
Oh, unless y'all going to tell me that Tobey Maguire was really about that life, that action.
You know, and here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Tom Cruise does all his own stunts. Let that marinate.
Right. Right.
Like, come on, people.
Just because you don't think
something can happen doesn't mean
it
can't happen.
Just because you don't feel you physically.
You're projecting.
Challenge.
You're projecting.
You know what I'm saying?
I just don't know.
So stop it.
When people have legitimate complaints I'm with you.
We'll entertain it. We'll entertain it. But this is not.
But when you got some bullshit that you reached behind your back to scratch your elbow with, like, come on, bruh.
And a lot of it's childish too, because it's like, I get it. You're stamping your feet. No, I went Wesley. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But this is
not. How about that? I don't. And you have as much power as I do. You want Wesley? I don't want him. Now what? Guess what? We don't got him. He's not Blade.
And it didn't make. Did you really think it made sense?
No.
That he would be Blade now?
That is the one move that before watching would have turned me away from an MCU project. That is the one move. If they had brought Wesley back as Blade, that would have turned me off from that for that project. I may have watched it eventually. No, you would have watched it. Yeah, because it's an MCU movie. Of course I would have watched it. But I would not have rushed out to go see it. That's just not, it wasn't going to happen. Now that it's Mahershala, I'll be there. I'll be there.
He has a lot of years to be that character in the role. Even if they squeaked out one movie with Wesley as Blade, he ain't have another one. Come on,
right,
y'all.
That's the other thing.
Come on.
There's no longevity there.
There's no longevity there. And that's what Disney and Marvel Studios is looking for is longevity. So
we just ended Phase 3, where a bunch of the actors have been there either 11 years or like 8.
Right. Stop
so,
it.
So, come on, yo. Come on.
I need y'all to stop it.
But it is what it is.
It was an amazing day the other day. And, I'm looking forward to everything that's about to go down.
Definitely.
So, we want to thank all of you for taking the time out to listen to what is our 67th episode.
You gonna stop counting?
I'm just saying. Look, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
I don't
think
I have any I have a lot of YouTube videos, probably ranging in the close to 400.
Yeah.
At this point, but as far as this type of content here, I've done other podcasts. I've had other podcasts. This is the longest running podcast I've been a part of, so yeah, it's a big deal.
Oh no, it's huge.
And you know, it motivates us to continue doing it because you guys continue listening.
Yep.
Is there anything that you're trying to promote?
For Instagram, photos by SBJ, go check it out or don't.
Go check it out.
Also, any platform you happen to be listening to this on, go ahead and do the things to show the people that you like the stuff. Now, if you decide that you want to give us your impressions on Marvel Studios Hall H Comic-Con presentation.
Right.
Then there are two ways you can do it. One, you can go to the Facebook page, leave us a like, follow us. You can, I already posted something in reference to Phase 4. So you can go in those comments if you want to. If you want to, you can go in those comments and say, say your piece. Or you can hit us up with a direct message and say your piece. Or the OG way, you can go hit us up at blackculturegeeks@gmail.com. That is blackculturegeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Now, after you've done all that, make sure you go ahead and let all your friends know about this great podcast that you've been listening to and you've grown to love and you've been there with us along on the ride. And help us spread our invisible message.
Absolutely. And, of course, I will be promoting, again, the No Skull Duggery EP, as well as the rest of my discography. You can find that anywhere digital music is sold and on Bandcamp. Also, go check out my Reaper Legion Network, channel on YouTube. That's where you'll see the most updated videos that I have, and we can talk about the content that I have on that channel. That's why I said I have like almost 400 videos in total. And I'm saying go check that out, see some of those videos. Also go check out my photography page on Instagram, ReverbVision999. Got a lot of pictures on there because that's kind of what we do. We take pictures.
Indeed.
So, for my man SPJ, I am Tombstone the Dead Man, and for the greater Multiworld Entertainment family, we are out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening.